Once again, I would like you to open your Bibles, Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and we will commence with verse 46. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to Jerusalem. He had just come from Bethany and Ephraim, and now he was coming to Jericho. Remember, there were two cities in Jericho. There was the old ruins, and then there was the newer one. And that's the place where Herod had his winter home. And it was a busy place. It was a passage through from the Pyrenean mountains, and there was many that traveled that direction. And he came to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." And they charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thy son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I'm going to read also three verses from Luke chapter 18. This is Luke's account. This was before he came to Jericho. They were on the way. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." And with no assurance, the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. I'm sure already you have seen the similarities with the scripture reading earlier on in our meeting, Isaiah chapter 53. Here we have the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples. Sometimes we forget about the disciples. Isn't that right? But let us just think of them just for 1 minute. Who was there? Why did we have to write it down to think of the names of the disciples? We know the ones who we talk about most. We do think of Simon Peter, and we think of his brother Andrew, and James the elder, and John his brother, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the lesser or younger, Simon Zelotes, Judas, or sometimes he's known as Thaddeus, and Judas Iscariot. These 12 disciples were with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spoke to them. And he told them what was going to happen. Remember, this was just a few months before the death of Christ on the cross. And here he said to them that the prophets have prophesied that this was going to happen. And now the time has come. I must go to Jerusalem. And there they will take me. And they will scourge me. And they'll spit upon me. They'll mock me. And they'll kill me. And then on the third day, I'll rise again. Can you just imagine the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the disciples? They might have been sitting. They might have been standing. We do not know. But the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to them. Wonder what their thoughts was. Wonder what the thoughts of Judas Iscariot was. He was the one that was going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. What was his thoughts? What was the thoughts of the others? It tells them they did not understand. All this was hidden from them. You know, sometimes things are hidden from us. And we cannot understand. We cannot understand why the people are not coming into our meetings. Sometimes it's hard to understand as we give the gospel tracts out, as we preach, as we speak to our loved ones about Christ. It's hard for us to understand. But you see, these things are hid from us. And you do not know what the future will bring forth. There could be a great revival come to Kingston. Your family could be gloriously and wonderfully brought back to Christ himself. Those who are not saved would be saved. We do not know. Hid from us. This is why when we pray, we must pray in confidence that we do not come and pray with a negative attitude. We must expect great things. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples coming when we out of Jericho. Who else was there? Crowd of people. And I'm sure there's all types of people there. Rich people, poor people, tall, all sorts of types of people. And just like in the world today, there's so many types of people. When they was coming here, and all in their different airports, you could see all the different types of people. Some of them dressed differently. Some of them had no shoes on them. And I thought this was strange. All people were so different. Same as this crowd in Jericho. But then there were some other people there. We read in Matthew chapter 20, we read that there were two blind men. Two of them. And in the account, Luke says a certain blind man. And here in Mark, it tells us the name of this certain man was Bartimaeus. So it was generally thought of that there were two blind men sitting by the wayside. We do not know the name of the other, but I'm sure him receiving the sight was just as wonderful as Bartimaeus's. We must not forget that. But let's look at Bartimaeus. And the first thing that we will look at will be his darkness. Blindness is very difficult for many people who are blind. Some find it hard to cope with. Some are born blind. Some have it through accidents, or maybe through diseases. But it must be a terrible thing to have. Not being able to see God's beautiful creation. Now I've been all over many different places. One of my favourites at the Rocky Mountains was nice, but I thought the wee fishing town of Jordanstown, where we have our church, is one of the nicest places there was, until I came to Tasmania. And then when I see God's wonderful hand of creation, how beautiful it is. And it was hard for anyone that's blind for people to talk about all the beautiful things. They can't see their friends and their relations. They can't see where they are going. In our church in Nepal, there used to be 60 churches in Nepal, that's in the Himalaya Mountains. Now there's over 100. And they are the Nepal Free Presbyterian Church. They want to be free Presbyterians like you and I. That's their desire. And we have already started in the process. And they will hopefully soon be free Presbyterians. They want to learn. They want to be taught. And there's one man there, and he's blind. And he has Braille. And he goes about, and he witnesses to others who are blind. There's many out there in that country. And we see even blind people in the Paralympic Games. I used to be an athlete. I was going to say in the young days, but I never matured. I never made the grade until I was 39 years of age, believe it or not. But you see those blind people running in the races with a runner beside them. What courage. What courage. And we have them working in their works today and doing a good job. The Lord is good. But here we have this man, Bartimaeus. and he was in darkness. But what a great picture that is, darkness. We can look at the darkness of sin. I'm not saying for one moment that blindness is sin. It's not. But I'm just taking the example of the darkness that the blind people have. And we see the darkness people are in today because of sin. So much of it. It is a terrible disease. Terrible disease. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. Death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I would not be preaching in Tasmania Free Presbyterian Church tonight if there was no sin. This is why I'm here, to preach about sin. To tell people how they can turn away from their sin. Oh yes, there's so much sin about today. Then, secondly, we will look at his schedule. Now this maybe would be an unusual title or a point to have. But this man had a day job. He had to live. Where was the money going to come from to get his food and to pay for his rent or whatever other things he had to pay for? He had to have a day job. And what was it? He was a beggar. He depended on other people. He relied on other people for their help so that he could go and buy some food and live a life. That was his day job. And it's just the same in sin. How the unsaved sinner is relying on Satan to feed him with the lusts of the flesh. And this is what happens. Before I became a Christian, I was a compulsive gambler. I worked in the West End of London in pubs and clubs and discotheques at the very start. I knew many gangsters and many things. You know, in the alcohol business, even then, and how it's changed now. Because Satan has to feed the people with more new things. Used to be you wouldn't have fruit flavored alcohol. Now there's so many fruit flavored alcohol. And it's feeding the lusts of our young people. And they'll want more and more. And the same with the drugs. They start on at a small one and then they move on to bigger drugs. But think of gambling itself. It starts small. My heart breaks when you look at the television back home and you see advertisement after advertisement about free bets and gambling with these mobile phones. And people are going and they're betting on them. And of course they're losing and many are in debt. And I know for a fact. It's happening all over the world. They're bringing more casinos. There are more bookies. Our livelihood seems to be building around gambling today. What is it? Sinner, unsaved sinner, relying on the Satan to feed them. They want more. They want more. They want more. Brothers and sisters, that's why we have to pray against these evil places. We must pray at the Lord with Stephen and Virgin. We'll pray at the main wife was a great wee woman for praying against all these pubs. And I don't know many have been closed. They have been. Praying against them. Then we see Bartimaeus' discernment. Something special was happening. Heard all this commotion. And you see, he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure people told him what he was doing. The blind were receiving their sight. The lame were able to walk. The dead were raised. And he discerned that Jesus was passing this way. He discerned it. And just the same today, the word of God is preached. And people are discerning and wanting to hear the scripture. And that's how man and woman are saved. Through the preaching of God's word, the Holy Ghost working in their hearts. Discernment of the Holy Spirit. How tremendous that is. This man had a discernment. And then we see he also had a desire in his heart. It's just not good enough just to be discerned. But the sinner must have a desire to be saved. A real desire. And this is what Bartimaeus and the other blind man, they had a desire to be saved. He wanted to see. He was tired of the life he was living. He wanted to be able to see his friends. See where he was going, the house he lived in. Now what a great chance there was for him. And he had this desire to see the Lord Jesus Christ and be healed. Then we look at his determination. You see, nothing was going to stop him. The crowd, well, they were about. There are many hindrances for that man. People said, hold your peace. Because he was shouting, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy upon me. And the people tried to stop him. But he cried the more and the more. The determination that man had was tremendous. That's the determination the sinner must have. The hindrances will come. There's many hindrances. Satan does not like to see a soul seeking after Christ. And there will be many barriers put in the way. Many barricades. There will be family. And there'll be friends, there'll be sport, there'll be church and religion, and pride and worldliness. But this man had a faith. Nothing was going to stop him. I know this man, Bartimaeus, and the other man as well. They just wanted to see Jesus. They wanted a touch from him. And then we see his deliverance. The Lord Jesus Christ saw that man's heart. He knew his desire. He knew his discernment. He wanted to be healed. And he stopped. Bring that man to me. And there they brought three men to him. Lord Jesus looked at them and says, what will I have thee to do? Sir, that we may receive our sight. At that moment, their eyes were opened. Lord, a touch. Bartimaeus. You can just imagine him. Just open his eyes. Look at him. See in the crowd, look at him. Most of all, he saw a Savior, the one who opened his eyes. You know, and how wonderful that is whenever a sinner comes to Christ by faith and confesses their sin, repents of their sin, and forsakes their sin. The Holy Ghost enters in immediately. They become new creatures in Christ Jesus. What a miracle that is. The day I was saved, I had no thoughts of being saved. I had just won money on a horse. I wasn't careless. But the Holy Spirit took a really hold on me. And how a miracle happened. The prayers of my family and many others were answered. For here we have this man, saved by grace. Eyes were opened. Hallelujah. Tremendous. Even as we read them. And then finally, we see his dedication. Old things have passed away. He wasn't going to go back to the wagon. That was finished. All he wanted to do, the Bible tells us, was to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely that's a dedication for every child of God, that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ fully and truly, wholehearted. You can just picture this man jumping up and down, praising God. Praising the Lord Jesus Christ for what he had done for him. You know, sometimes we do that when we're saved for maybe a week or a month or a few years. And sometimes it wears off. But we should be praising the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. Giving him the thanks. Giving him the praise. And giving him all the glory. Oh, what a day that was for those two men. Their eyes were open. The Lord had touched them. As I look down, I don't know anyone really here. And if there is anyone there meeting not saved, just let me say it, the Lord Jesus Christ can open your eyes as well. You can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You must have this discernment, the desire, the determination. And he will deliver you. He delivered many. And he will continue to deliver his church. Right through until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Do pray that the Lord will bless this word to every one of our hearts. Is any not saved, the Lord will save them. And for God's people, that we will be encouraged. That we will pray. We will praise and thank God for our new lives, that our eyes are open, is lost, but now I am found. What amazing grace that is.